Mr. Ryan Rashog from TSN Shogger. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never been in the big guest of the day slot before.
What?
And I feel a lot of pressure to be phenomenal and spectacular in some way, and I'm just not sure that I can. I've got the information to do that with today, but I'll do my best.
But you got more than enough, and we're going to talk about an unrelated sports topic here right now. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how I feel like society is trending in a way I don't like as far as interaction. When you meet someone, you shake their hand, and then they want to hug you when you leave them. There's hugs all over the place. It's jumping to my levels of friendship. You strike me as a hugger. You look like you want to hug everyone. You and Pierre LeBrun hugging after a tape and stuff like that. Where do you come on this hugging? Is it too much hugging in the world right now?
Okay, so just hang on a second here, because there's a lot of different situations. You can't just lay down a blanket rule. Like, are we talking about you and me? You know, I would yeah. consider us to be somewhat of friends.
Yes.
I would shake your hand when I saw you.
There you go.
It would be good. I would say it would be good to see you. And we spend an evening socializing, and then the night is over? So, or are we talking about you've just met with someone for the first time, and you socialize for the evening and then leave?
Let me set it up. You go out with another couple for dinner, right? You just and they bring
first
a group of friends.
Ever?
Yeah, first time. You don't know them. So there's three couples. You know the one couple. You don't know the second couple. You meet them. You shake hands.
Okay.
After the dinner's over, do you feel you should hug the woman as she's leaving? The first time you met her?
I would say it depends on how it went. Probably not. I would probably just go with the really nice to meet you, the handshake. You might bring the other hand in to the handshake and sort of do the two-handed clasp, which is a little bit more than just the single-handed nice to meet you. So you might go two-handed clasp, maybe an arm, maybe a hand on the arm, like really nice to meet you, but full hug, unless these are people you've been waiting to meet for a long time, unless there's some other sort of history there, some sort of a deeper connection, I would say probably not a hug on the first night.
A two-handed shake. I love it. I've never done that. I'm awkward, but that would be really awkward. I will not. That's bad advice, people. Do not do that. Do not do that.
All you do is, so you're shaking her hand with your right hand.
Okay.
All you do is you place your left hand just sort of on the, it's creepy. Never mind.
You're right, Rashog. It's the double handshake. That's allowed.
God. I don't know.
Frederick is just scared of human interaction, and if somebody comes to hug him that he doesn't want to hug, he says he throws a hip in there.
Yeah, I turn. I do a slight turn, so my hip goes into their midriff.
He refuses to go chest to chest.
Yeah. I have a bigger pet peeve. I have a bigger pet peeve. I have a pet peeve of guys. This is all just among men here. You shake a guy's hand, then all of a sudden and you feel it happening, and you're like, oh no. He starts moving his hand up and turning it into the shake, thumb lock and all that.
Yeah.
Turns it into that.
Yeah.
And then you feel him, the gravity pulling you towards him. Now he's coming in for the shoulder on shoulder kind of bro hug. So what you thought was going to be a shake turns into that weird grasp. Now all of a sudden you're kind of bro hugging and a quick pat on the shoulder. That, I don't like unexpectedly being taken by that.
No, me neither. Especially when it comes from an unexpected source, like a guy you don't think is really into that, and he brings it in. Now he's whispering something in your ear. It's just the whole hugging, this phenomenon has got to stop. And I'm going to start it. No hugs. I'm going to start it right now. That's my new path in life. I'm going to do that because it's too much.
You are way taller than the average just person walking around out there. And I would imagine that you hugging people is significantly more of an imposition on you and your kind of comfort. You need to bend over a lot. You need to, like, I can't imagine a lot of hugs with you are really comfortable, whereas the rest of us, we're kind of all the same size, so it's maybe a little more natural feeling.
Well, then I'll bring in this next time before we move on, but when I come in, and maybe there's a kiss on the cheek. Maybe that's necessary. And that is a whole nother awkward. Do you kiss on which cheek? Is it on the lips? Like, you never know what's going on. It is a complete mess out there. Oh, God, I need to get help. I need some help. All right, well, now, Shogger, we're joined by Ryan Rashog here on the Jason Greger Show. I've got a lot of issues, apparently, that people are texting in and talking about. You're down at the Board of Governors meetings today, I guess. What was the hot topic down there today?
There wasn't one.
There wasn't any?
Wow. I mean, I've done a whole bunch of these Board of Governors.
Sure.
There's not a lot of meat on the bone this year. I mean, I think basically what's happening here is they're going, whether they present it today or tomorrow, they're going to give the governors an idea what the salary cap number will look like for next year. So probably 70 or 71 million, right in around that range. So that'll happen. There'll be a player safety update. There'll be an Olympic update. They'll finalize that television deal. that was done. We're going to try and find out when they're about to do that, and we're going to pull the fire alarm. I don't know if that'll help or not. But, but exactly. But, I mean, really, there aren't a lot of real significant heavy issues out there. I'd say the timing of this is more convenient just because of everything that's happening and, you know, with the Bruins and Thornton and all of that. Everybody's kind of all gathered here, and we'll be asking questions about those sorts of things and those suspensions. And I think player discipline and safety will end up being a bigger topic here because we're all here.
Schauger, I can't believe that the rapid, what seems to be a pretty quick rapid increase to the salary cap is not an issue down there.
Well, I mean, like in what way, Stradley? What way do you feel it needs to be?
I guess,
I mean, it's going to go up to 70.
Yeah, I mean, so eventually, I mean, there's some people that are projecting in 5 years the salary cap could be, you know, close to $85 or $90 million. And the top end teams, that's no problem. But the bottom, the floors, I mean, with that, it'd be around $60-65 million. The floor, I mean, if you're a Florida or a Phoenix who just kind of got some owners, these struggling teams, I mean, you know, it's easy to say now everything's rosy right now, but is it not long term? Or don't they have to look ahead and say, oh, boy, this could be a real problem for some teams?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, it will be. But do you halt progress to save franchises that maybe are they worth being saved at this point? Okay. Do you halt progress? I mean, they just did landmark agreement on the television rights front, bringing billions of dollars into the industry. I think everybody knows that expansion is going to happen at some point here. Just a matter of is it 12 or 24 months or 36? When's that happening? So is contraction completely out of the question if some of these markets can't hack it? I mean, we're reading reports about buying center ice, you know, middle of the way or best tickets available in the rink in Florida for $10. So, you know, I don't know if you can halt progress in the name of these other franchises. So I'm sure they'll talk about it, but it's going up to 70 next year, and then who knows where it's going from there. But I don't know, Streds. I just don't know if you can hold everybody else back because some of these franchises are going to have a tough time getting to the floor.
Well, I know one thing. It's a great time to be an NHL player because, you know, if you're coming in like a guy like Taylor Hall, his contract could be up and, you know, or will be up almost around the same time as those salary top cap numbers could be up around $90 million, $95 million, and that's huge, huge numbers that the guys will be – the contracts, people will not believe the contracts people will be getting in 4 to 5 years, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Schauger, I was joined by Ryan Schauger. Oh, go ahead. You have a thought on that?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say the maximum amount that each a player is going to be able to make is just going to go through the roof, and you're going to have teams committing ridiculous money, baseball kind of ridiculous money to these players and having to identify their star players, and those will be the norm, those kinds of deals. The ones now they're giving out are crazy enough, but it's just going to go north from here.
Yeah, $10 million will be just not commonplace, but for stars it'll be quite commonplace. And the superstars, they're going to be way up. They're going to be high teams, and it's just good for them. It's a crazy amount of money.
Imagine that.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. And you know, it makes me wish I was a little bit younger and a little more talented.
Now, Schauger, well, you're doing great in the radio world, whatever that's worth. You're doing great in the radio world.
Thank you very much. Okay, Schauger, let's talk a little bit Edmonton Oilers. The power play. You know, long term, unless the Oilers find a guy that's willing to shoot from the point, you know, and it doesn't have to have a bomb, but get the puck through, shoot it often, and be a threat from there, can the power play have success?
Well, no. You have to have somebody that's willing and thinking shoot on that blue line. You absolutely have to. They like working it back there. They work it. They have kind of that umbrella set up on one of their looks. It's always back there. What you don't want, I mean, fans get on them. What you don't want is a guy who's constantly firing it into the other team's shin pads. And you would know this, Strud, just how good players are at getting into shooting lanes. I mean, that's just caught. Nobody ever goes body on body when you're covering the point like that. It's all about shooting lanes, and it's hard. Like, it is really hard to. But the point is, when the opportunities come up, they're that much more valuable because the opposition's so much better at limiting them. So you need guys who don't blanch a second when an opportunity to shoot comes up. They just fire it. Because to me, I just think that the penalty killing is that much more perfected. The guys get into the shooting lanes, and if you have guys who hesitate, you're just in trouble.
Yeah, you not only do you have the forwards that are in front of you, it's also the D-men that are now fronting the shot. Rather than standing beside the guy in front, they're fronting the shot. It makes it very hard to get through. And I guess that's – I mean, you know Justin Schultz. You've watched him his whole career, this whatever year it's been. you know, he has the mobility to move side to side. And I, you know, is he not a shooter? Is he more a setup man? Because to me, if there's mobility, good God, I wish I had mobility like that. I would have been blasting bombs all day long.
Yeah, well, and I think Justin had a little bit of success early on with his lateral movement along the line and trying to pick top corners. And I think that's, I think he needs to get away from that. I think Justin needs to use his lateral mobility to go left or to go right and to fire a low shot in and give it a chance to hit a pad. Or how many times do the Oilers miss high and wide? I mean, it's insane how many times they miss high and wide in the course of a game. And Justin Schultz is one of the biggest culprits of that. I think he needs to use his lateral movement, get low shots in where sticks and shin pads and skates and pads can deflect it. I just think he's always going high for show, and he needs to break out of that mentality. Jordan Eberle needs to start thinking about one time and pucks. Taylor Hall, the last few games, has been thinking that way, and it's rewarded him. Mm-hmm. Jordan Eberle needs to stop dusting it off two or three times every pass that comes at him. And I know it's insane for me to sit here and tell Jordan Eberle how to score. I know it sounds insane, but if you watch him, he is not thinking one-timer at all, ever. There is always a quick handle and then the shot. And it's almost like a crutch. It's almost like a tick. You got to stop thinking that way and just fire it.
You know, the Oilers, we saw the game the other day. I don't know if you got a chance, but Boston-Pittsburgh was like an episode of Slapshot. Very physical, very aggressive hockey. Now, maybe a little bit too far, but, you know, the Oilers are obviously lacking that in their play. Not enough physical guys. When you're on a team like that, is it hard to be the guy, if you think you can do it, but you're the only one, is it hard to be that island that is physical, and so you don't really do it, or is it just that no one can really do it for the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, I think we've seen different incarnations of it over the years here in Edmonton. We've seen when they've had more than one guy. So even earlier this year, you got Mike Brown and you got Luke Gazdick, mm-hmm. right? They'll run around, and when they were out there were times where they could shift momentum and throw some good hits. But those are fourth-line guys. They're only going to play 4, 5, 6 minutes a night. The problem with this Oilers team is that of the guys who play the most minutes, there's nobody who takes any responsibility as far as being physical. There's nobody who looks at it and says, I have to do my part. And if we all do our part, we'll be a physical enough team. Nobody thinks that way. So, you know, Jordan Eberle, for all the offense that he creates and all the things that he does really, really well, it's his responsibility to throw a hit on the forecheck every once in a while. Same thing with Taylor Hall. I'm surprised that as this season has gone on, we haven't seen Taylor start to get a little aggravated and blow some people up. He's got the speed and the ability to do it. It needs to be shared throughout, and if it is, then everybody plays a little bit taller. But I see this team as way too soft night in, night out, and nobody is taking the responsibility upon themselves step outside their comfort zone and say, look, this isn't part of my game. This isn't really how I make my living normally. But I recognize if I don't do it, there aren't enough guys here that are going to, and we're just not going to win. They're just too soft. They're too soft to win in the league right now.
Yeah, it's actually quite scary to think. And there's some good tests coming up. I don't think Carolina is a team you're really shaking, but you got Anaheim, the Bruins, I guess, Anaheim, LA, Canucks. After this game tomorrow, they got a pretty tough patch. And I think we'll get a better idea of where and can the Oilers compete against these top heavier type teams.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they need players like the players that they've drafted in the past who they need them to take a step and become an NHL player. Like Tyler Pitlick had a good little bit of momentum from the few games that he played. He played well. I fully expect Tyler Pitlick to get another look once he gets a little bit of conditioning in the minors, because Tyler Pitlick brings that element. He's not afraid to throw some body checks. He's not afraid to get physical and could develop nicely into a third-line player. So they need that kind of guy, and they don't have enough of it. And if you look around the division, those are the teams that are winning games, or teams that can lean on you a little bit.
There's no doubt. Well, be very interested to see what they can do. Listen, Shogger, stay warm down there, buddy. It looks like I saw your head on TV. It looks like you're chilled to the bone.
You know what? I got to tell you, I have been freezing cold since I got here. And it sounds insane to fly from Edmonton to Pebble Beach and complain about being cold, but I didn't prepare for it. It actually is pretty cold out there. Like, we are right on the coast. The wind is coming in. It's not that warm. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, as a Western Canadian, you don't come to California and complain about the weather, but I was freezing in my room last night.
You're the first Canadian I've ever heard complain about leaving the Edmonton where it's minus 35 going to California and you're chilled to the bone. You reached an all-new high with me, Ryan Rashog.
Well, I hope when I get back Strud's. I hope when I get back, you got a big warming hug waiting for me.
I can guarantee you I will not have that for you. I'll give you anything you want but a hug. All right,
Charter. Well, you tell Shona I got one coming. You tell Shona I got one coming from her.
Loves it. She loves those big TV stars that hug her. Thanks, buddy. Go warm up. Go sit beside a fire.
Okay, buddy. Will do.